This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back into the third and final hour of the program here on Thursday morning. Bowling season starts again for me tonight, although it's just the meeting, so I don't have to bowl tonight, but still. Bowling season begins anew. And it's a long one. It's going to go all the way to May. But looking forward to getting back out there and being terrible for the first few weeks because I didn't bowl at all summer long. But those of you who are in the league, I will see you tonight. And every Thursday after that. We got some app chat messages during the news. DSY says, there's only one thing worse than Trump, and that is Vance. Imagine him in charge. Oh, my God. And then Not Bad says, Tim, your interaction with your caller regarding his reason for going with Trump was absolutely great radio. Although I may not agree with him on his reason, I enjoyed the civil conversation on the topic. I only wish that could be the norm during all political conversations. I mean, that's what I try to do. I want to have these conversations with logic and reason rather than emotion. And if you want to call in and make your points and say why you're voting for Donald Trump, as that caller did, I will listen to those. I'm not going to change my mind because of it, but you're not trying to change my mind because of it. You're just letting the audience know why you're making that decision. And that's fine because you're giving, it wasn't, I'm not doing this because Kamala Harris is a laughing hyena. How can we elect a laughing hyena like Kamala Harris? Like, that's not what the point of the call was. The point was to lay out logically the reasons why he was voting for Donald Trump. And those are conversations we can have any day, anytime. It's when the emotion starts to get involved in it, or the misinformation, or the misogyny, or even the racism that gets brought into this, whether you know it or not. You might not say something with those intentions, but you're repeating something that somebody put out with those intentions. So that's why we... I try to stop people that do that and say, well, hold on, hold on. Like, you need to have something more. Just repeating what you saw somebody post online or what you read in a meme is not a conversation. A conversation is like what happened with that caller, where you make your points and give your reasons. Think about it like this, right? If you listen to sports radio at all, what makes for the best sports radio? When a caller calls in and says, You know, I think Drake May is the better choice over Jacoby Brissett because, you know, you're not going to win games this year. You're not looking to win anything. It's better off for his development, provided there's an offensive line that can protect him. If they can't protect him, there's no point in putting him out there and risking, you know, a setback in his development. But if you have somebody out there who can protect him and keep him from getting knocked to the ground every play, it's probably better that he has a chance to develop, especially with young receivers out there, and they can start to build a rapport. And Jacoby Brissett, we know what he is, and so will all the teams that we're going to go up against, and those other teams will know how to scheme against him, but they don't really know anything about Drake May at the NFL level, so we probably have a little bit of an advantage, and maybe we can win a few games and get people excited about what the future of this team is. And if that's what your analysis is going to be, that makes for a very interesting call. I mean, it doesn't have to be those words. I'm not trying to say I'm interesting, but, you know, if that's the way you're breaking it down, it can make for a great conversation. But if you call in and say, yeah, they got to start May because Brissett just sucks. Like, that's not an interesting call. That there was no reason to even make that call. Like, when I hear a caller who does that, I think, oh, this guy's just going to be like, hey, turn on the radio. I'm going to be on the radio. Do you want me to say he sucks? I'll say he sucks. Like, that's what you're getting in a call like that. You're not getting somebody who has an actual valid intellectual point to make. Not that sports radio has to be intellectual. They work on emotion, too. But that's what makes for a better conversation. That's why you don't hear me say, you know, over-the-top ridiculous things about Donald Trump until somebody says a ridiculous over-the-top thing in the other direction. But I think you will see as we get closer to November 5th, there's going to be a lot more noise, a lot more of this, you know, just repeated rhetoric. But you're going to see a lot of people who just want to have those conversations. They want to have those discussions about, well, I mean, what is the worst that could happen if we went with this person or that person? Like, is it going to be as bad as they're saying? Like the last caller said, you know, are they really going to be able to implement all these policies if they have a Congress that won't agree with them? So there's, you know, I guess an undercurrent, we'll say, of people who want to have that more in-depth conversation. The problem is the candidates themselves haven't given us enough yet to have those in-depth conversations. It's been about the personalities. It's been about how they want to paint each other more than as people, as individuals, more than as policy. And there's been a lot of things that just contradict themselves. Both of them, both candidates have just contradicted themselves. And so now with this interview happening tonight, hopefully some debates happening, at least one, then we'll be able to start separating some of that out. And the people who want to hear about the issues can hear about the issues. That's the thing that's kind of irked me the most about this. Is a lot of things that one candidate might be for, the other candidate is probably for it in a similar fashion. Because when you've got a point where everybody kind of agrees that things are tough in certain areas, now, you know, the Republicans will categorize it as, you know, they're bad and they're getting worse. Whereas the Democrats will say it's bad, but it's been getting better. But they both are still agreeing on the fact that things are bad and things need to change. And in that bit of the conversation, there's a lot of similarities. And I never fault a candidate who says that they were for or against something at one point in their life and then say later on that, you know, they're now in the opposite direction. I don't fault a candidate for that. People say, well, that just shows that they're, you know, wishy-washy, they're chameleons, they'll just take on whatever they think is going to get them the votes. And while that's true, I also like to think that people learn and evolve and change their minds. I just want them to explain it as that. I want them to come out and say, I know I said this previously, but my position on that has changed because my knowledge on it has evolved. Or the circumstances are different. I was against fracking, but now I'm for it because I realize that it's a necessary thing that we need to do, but we need to do it responsibly. And then you eliminate the people who say, oh, well, Kamala Harris was against fracking, but now she's for it because she just wants the people that are going to vote for her that like fracking. No, maybe she's changed her mind. I know I've changed my mind on plenty of things over the years. And most of the time I've changed my mind, not because circumstances change, but because I learned more about it. And I had a an incorrect assessment of what it was all about. Oh, Kamala Harris just wants to get rid of taxes on tips because Donald Trump does. Or maybe because she heard it and says, yeah, that is a good policy. You're right. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We were also talking this morning as, you know, I think every student is pretty much back to school today if they didn't go back yesterday. And we were talking about the need for school to start before Labor Day weekend. And Labor Day weekend is a moving target in terms of the date. So it's not like it's really easy to say, well, schools are going to start, if we start after Labor Day every year, you know, it's only 2 days. Sometimes it might be 4 days, or, you know, sometimes it might be more than that. It all depends on where Labor Day falls. But I think in a situation like this year, what did you really gain by sending them back Wednesday or Thursday, only to give them a 3-day weekend after that, when you could have just waited? Take away an extra day at the holiday break, because you don't need 3 or 4 days after New Year's Day. Actually, as a kid, I was always like excited to go back to school after Christmas break. You get to bring all your toys in that you got for Christmas, even though you weren't supposed to. But you were like, hey, look what I got. I was always excited for that. And also, like, that's the time of year when you have to decompress a little bit because of everything that's been going on with the holidays. But you also, at that point, thinking to yourself, all right, we're like halfway through the school year now. I just want it to be over. Let's just get back to school and get it done with. And that's how I would actually live my life when I was in school. Is like, okay, when's the next day I don't have to be here? As much as I liked it, I did enjoy school, especially high school. But I was always looking at the calendar like, what's the next day I don't have to get up? 508-996-0500. Let me bring up another story here that I had for you. So I don't know how much you remember the story that happened earlier this year. There was a murder-suicide in Haverhill. Lauren Marino, 24, of Haverhill, died in March when police said Austin Amaral of North Providence went to her home and shot her 9 times before turning the gun on himself. Well, on Tuesday, the police arrested a Rhode Island woman and who they say provided the weapon in this. They arrested Heather Costa of Warwick and charged her with providing false information when securing a firearm along with the illegal sale of a weapon. Police allege that Costa bought a Glock 17. This comes from WPRI. Police allege Costa bought a Glock 17 pistol under false pretenses in January and then delivered it to Amaral, who then went on to use it when he killed Marino in March. Amaral shot Marino 4 times in the head, according to her mother. And the mother said this about Costa: it was a really bad, irresponsible decision on her part, and I don't have anything to say to her. So Costa was arraigned Tuesday in Kent County District Court and was released on personal recognizance, and she did not respond to multiple requests for comment. She'll be back in court in December. Now, Amaral and Marino had apparently been seeing each other for a couple of months. A neighbor found them both dead inside Marino's apartment, and the DA's office ultimately ruled that Amaral shot Marino before killing himself. But the family says they really can't, they haven't gotten any information about this from the authorities. The only thing that they've come to learn is that their daughter, the parents have come to learn is that their daughter was shot 9 times. So they just kept pressing and pressing and pressing to say, how did he get this gun? And then they started this investigation. And then they were able to find out that Costa bought the weapon for Amaral, allegedly, because he didn't have a license and he couldn't obtain one himself. Because as it turns out, she and the suspect, Amaral, had also been in a romantic relationship. So she bought him the gun so that he could kill this woman. Now, whether or not she knew how he was going to use it, we don't know because she hasn't said anything. But that's where that stands. And again, December will be the next court date for her. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. And that is, of course, Amy Mann until Tuesday. Massachusetts own Amy Mann. And I got the chance to, a few years ago, actually quite a few years ago now, probably about a decade ago, fly out to L.A. And it was the first time, it was 11 years ago because I was 35. It was the first time I ever flew in a plane and I went cross country. And we were filming a TV show out there. And then we went out to eat afterwards in the same restaurant that they filmed The Big Lebowski in. When the German nihilists go out for pancakes. And I got to sit right at the same spot that Amy Mann sat in. But I didn't know that at the time because I hadn't seen the movie yet. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, that's exactly where it's at. So I know nobody cares, Tim. But you know what you do care about is who is going to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. And Ian Rappaport, anybody that is an NFL fan should be following at Rap Sheet on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. He reported that it is now official. Patriots coach Gerard Mayo informed players in a team meeting that Jacoby Brissett is the starting quarterback. Drake May will be his backup. So, there you go. Jacoby Brissett is the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, which is weird because it really sounded like Gerard Mayo was leaning toward Drake May being the starter in recent weeks. But it'll be Jacoby Brissett, but for how long? And let's face it, we all know the real reason why Jacoby's starting. It's because the offensive line is very much a work in progress. If that line solidifies by, say, October, well, then you might have a decision to make. Or if May just keeps outshining Brissett in practice, then you might have a decision to make. But there's also no need to rush either. So I guess we'll see how it all shakes out because we've got about a week and a half just about before the season begins, and you'll hear all the games all season long right here on WBSM. Now it is time for you to hear the news with Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Kamala Harris and Tim Walz due for their first joint interview. A listeria outbreak in deli meat kills 6 more people. And stressed out parents are a public health concern.
From the WBSM newsroom, This is WBSM News.
Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz are joining CNN for their first joint interview. The pair will be interviewed by CNN's chief political correspondent and anchor Dana Bash in an interview to air at 9 tonight. The interview marks the first time Harris has sat down with a journalist for an in-depth talk since President Biden ended his bid for re-election. Russia is barring nearly two dozen American journalists from entering the country. Michael Kastner reports.
Russia's foreign ministry posted a statement online Wednesday saying it has permanently barred 92 U.S. citizens in response to what it calls the Biden administration's Russophobic course, including the sanctions the U.S. imposed earlier this year. The list includes 14 journalists from the Wall Street Journal, 5 from the New York Times, and 4 from the Washington Post. A U.S. State Department spokesperson accuses the Kremlin of escalating attempts to restrict media freedom in Russia. I'm Michael Kastner.
A number of injuries were reported after a United Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing at Memphis International Airport Wednesday. Patrick, who was a passenger on the flight, described what happened.
We started hitting turbulence, and then we literally hit the worst air pockets there was. So the flight attendant almost hit the ceiling. People were really hurt. It was one of the most traumatic things to be on a flight for.
The Boeing 737 flying from Cancun to Chicago hit severe turbulence and was forced to land. Six people suffered minor injuries. One was taken to a hospital. A former Nevada politician is guilty of murdering a Las Vegas journalist. A jury found Robert Tellis killed Las Vegas Review-Journal investigative reporter Jeff Gehrman over negative articles. Tellis was sentenced to life in prison with parole possible after 20 years. The CDC says six more people have died from listeria infections linked to contaminated Boar's Head deli meat. Sarah Lee Kessler with the latest.
That makes 9 deaths since May and 57 people hospitalized. The six latest deaths were in New York, Florida, New Mexico, and Tennessee, plus 2 in South Carolina. There were earlier deaths in New Jersey, Illinois, and Virginia. Boar's Head expanded its deli meat recall in July to include 7 million more pounds of ready-to-eat meats. Listeria infections are especially dangerous for older people, pregnant women, and anyone with a weakened immune system. Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio.
Ford Motor Company is putting the brakes on its diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. It's the latest high-profile U.S. company to make such a move. And the U.S. Surgeon General says parental stress is a serious public health concern. Vivek Murthy released an advisory on Wednesday that said parents are increasingly overwhelmed by the dizzying pace of the world. It cites a 2023 report that says a third of all parents report high stress.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 3-0 at Fenway. Series wraps with Toronto tonight in Boston. And reports say New England Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo has picked Jacoby Brissett to be starting quarterback this season.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Thursday. We're enjoying beautiful weather, refreshing air this morning in the mid-60s under mostly clear skies. Temperatures on the cooler side, mostly sunny this afternoon in the mid-70s. Mostly clear overnight in the low 50s as we head into tomorrow and Saturday. These temperatures in the mid to low 70s under mostly sunny skies. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Like a raindrop, she's got the look. I haven't laid bound, cause heaven's got a number when she's spinning me around. Kissing is a color, her loving is a wild dog. She's got the look.
She's got the look.
You gotta love Roxette, because not only are the songs catchy, but their English is not their first language, so the lyrics don't really make any sense. And that's part of the charm of Roxette. So there's a story that ABC6 has up that normally, you know, I try to give you the details. I try not to read you verbatim what the story is, because you should go to their website and read the story. They're doing the work. They're doing the reporting. I just try to hit you with the bullet points to let you know. But this story by Alyssa Azara, I want to make sure I get her lead in here because it's pretty good. She says, "It's a story that seems like it's right out of a movie. Two Cranston teens are accused of breaking into a West Side home in Cranston with guns, stealing a Ferrari, with one of them leading police on a high-speed chase up and down the East Coast before it all ended in Florida yesterday." And this was an insane story. But on Saturday night, these two teenagers, 119, 118, broke into a home in Cranston. They were armed. 19-year-old Jonathan Costa and his accomplice, 18-year-old Logan Slezak of Pawtucket, they were masked, carrying handguns, and demanded the keys to the homeowner's Ferrari that was parked in the garage. They then took off, but the Ferrari was spotted on 95 South Monday night. State police began chasing it to the Connecticut state line and then eventually lost sight of it. But on Wednesday, the Ferrari was sighted in Flagler County, Florida, just south of Jacksonville. Two schools were put on lockdown as police believe both Costa and Slezak were in the car, and they called them armed and dangerous. They started chasing them again in other schools, and another local school was put on alert. Then members of law enforcement began looking through the area and spotted a red tarp in a backyard covering what looked like a sports car. They set up a perimeter. They arrested Costa, who came out peacefully. A gun was found inside the home, and police believe the owner of the home had rented it to Costa in the past. There's so many typos in this story. And I don't want to be a jerk in calling out the typos, but I'm trying to read around the typos. They're very distracting. But this one I got to read for you, because this is how the typo reads. A gun was found inside the home, and police believe the owner of the home has rented to Costa in the pasta. Like they wrote pasta instead of past. Anyway, there was no sign of Slezak. According to police, he never went south, and he turned himself in to North Providence police hours later. He was arraigned Wednesday on three felonies and held without bail. And Costa will be extradited back to Rhode Island as a fugitive from justice, although he was arraigned already on charges related to the chase that happened in Florida. And it says here also, prior to this incident, Costa and Slezak did have a criminal record, but I think that's supposed to be did not have a criminal record. This needs an editor very badly. He rented to Costa in the pasta, but that's not, I didn't want to read it to point out the mistakes. I wanted to read it because the story is so insane. Like the story is like Alyssa Azara wrote, something out of a movie. What made two kids, 18 and 19, decide, let's go steal that Ferrari? Let's show up with masks and guns and steal that Ferrari. And then, yeah, let's try to outrun the police all the way to Florida. And then let's also go to a place where they've rented to me in the pasta. 508-996-0500. I wonder if there was any sauce with that pasta. Good morning. You're on WBSM. Hi, you're on the air. Oh, hello? Where's the phone? Yeah, no, phone's on. There you go. I can't. Oh, there you go. Calling in on the other line now. Let's do this and then take it on this line. All right, now I believe you're on WBSM.
Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning. The word was
misconception. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
You got to turn down the radio, otherwise it'll be confusing for you.
Okay. The word was misconception.
Which word?
That you forgot a little while ago.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that. See, not only did I forget it the first time, I forgot it the second time, too. So thank you for reminding me.
I forget a lot of times. And it's like a bug on my ear now.
Oh, yeah.
I feel better that I told you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a good day. And let's take another call here. Again, 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, so what do you think about this lovely interview that's staged tonight?
I think that it's about time. This probably should have happened a while ago, but why do you feel it's staged?
Well, it's not going to be live, right? So we know that it's going to be edited. 60 Minutes, there's so many news shows that do that, right?
Yeah, they pretty much all do it.
Right, so they all do it unless you're totally live. What do you think about having the vice president there? People want to hear from Kamala, right? Not Walz.
Just before I answer that question, just to go back, even when they do them live, a lot of times they've already been pre-recorded. So if you're watching like a live show, it's something that they did like before they went on the air live. Even though it'll say live in the corner because technically the show is live, but that's a recorded segment. It's kind of a little bit of, smoke and mirrors there. But in terms of having Tim Walz there with her, That's happened plenty of times in the past. There's been plenty of interviews where they have both candidates on. In fact, there's a meme going around where they show all of the interviews with the two people on the ticket being as part of the interview.
So you think questions will be directed at both of them?
So I think there'll be some questions that can be, open to either or answering, and then I think they'll have pointed questions for each person. That's how I would handle it if I was doing that format.
Well, I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out, what kinds of questions, because we know that Bash has already stated, I think it was, I can't remember which Republican, and it might have been Vance, it was Vance that said, she was the border czar, and she was quick to correct him and say, no, she was not the border czar. She was, in charge of finding out what was going on there. So a little bit protective of her already, so I'm a little bit,
But I don't think that's protective of Kamala Harris. I think that's protective of what was actually said.
I just think that without the media, without them at all, I think Kamala is nowhere, right? Because she tried it by herself, right? She tried running for president by herself with other candidates. And she was the first one out, couldn't get any traction. Even Chelsea Gabbard just put her in her place. So now all of a sudden, what's different 4 years later? She was, the vice president that no one really wanted to hear because she was sort of, would make mistakes and ramble on. Now all of a sudden, she's this great person. And I say to myself, what's different? And what's different is a media that is propping her up. And they would have propped up anybody, whether it was Kamala or whomever maybe have gotten the ticket, Gavin Newsom, whatever, would have been the best thing since sliced bread. And I just, the media has become so powerful, it really makes me nervous that they're able to take somebody from zero, someone who tried the presidency on their own, failed miserably, right? And now all of a sudden is a shining star, raising money, getting, as many, volunteers, et cetera. So do you feel like the media is more responsible for her?
No, I feel like 4 years of being the vice president of the United States changed people's opinions of her.
So her record, do we know what her record is?
What's your record as a vice president? What do you do as a vice president?
You're 100%, all in on whatever the president does.
Not necessarily. There might have been things that were done that she would have done differently, but it's not her role. It's not her job to supersede what the president wants to do. It's her job to back up whatever his play is that he calls and to offer insight and advice.
Well, maybe tonight we'll actually find out what she stands for, what she wants. Cause right now
we hear
flip flopping, but we don't know if it's her, if it's her subordinates, if whoever's saying, we need to hear things out of her mouth. But if she starts saying things like she's for the wall and different things that have been coming out where she's mirroring Trump, that's going to be very interesting, because that she does have a record. She does a record of what she's said in the past. So we'll see now if it changes, and everyone's able to change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm hoping, as scripted as this will be, the questions that she'll have Walls to sort of defer if she needs to. I'm hoping we get something concrete out of this, something that we can sort of have a conversation around, because it looks like one debate and that's it. And it's very risky when you have just one, right? Because it's pass fail. You either come out looking really, really good, or you come out looking really, really bad. And so it's 50-50. So I don't know. We'll see if there's more interviews. But we need her on the record saying what she's done, not what other people are saying. The media is saying what she's going to do and what she stands for. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have a conversation tomorrow, and it'll be we'll have a little bit better understanding. I mean, do you know exactly what she stands for? Policies, foreign policy?
Again, most of what has come out, like you said, has come out as being like, this is what we're hearing the plan is. But it hasn't been from her own mouth. So I think that's very important. And just real quickly to your point about the debate, I think if they have one, no matter how it goes, I think that might be what then tells the candidates to say, all right, I think we should have another one. You know what I mean? I think if they can get to that first one, then they might want to have at least one more after that. Well, you know, I just think kind of they gotta kind of break the dam first, and then they can see what happens.
Yeah, but we know how Trump debates, and he's tenacious, and that doesn't always go well. It doesn't go well with a senile old guy, let alone a woman, that he could easily be said, hey, look what you do. You're beating up on this woman, you're doing this. And I just feel like, as a woman candidate, Hillary Clinton would never bring her vice presidential pick. She's a strong woman. This is a woman that's saying, you know, I'm going to break the glass ceiling.
I think they did an interview together. I think there was a photo of them doing it together.
But this is the first one. There's been so much pressure on this, and they did shop the media. They're like, okay, who would be the best? Is it BSM? You know, should I go to Howie Carr's show? Like, who's going to treat me better? Clearly, she wouldn't pick Howie Carr. She'd probably pick you. And you can figure out if that's good or bad. But, you know. So
I think they were looking at Chris McCarthy, but they found out he requires all of his guests to bring donuts. So they said, oh, no, never mind. We don't have that much money in the campaign coffers for McCarthy's donuts.
And no notes. Yeah, because Chris will have his notes out everywhere. So, hey, we'll see. Maybe tomorrow we'll have a little better understanding. That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Have a good day. And callers, hang on. I got to take a quick break here, and then we will get to you. Hang on 1 second. We'll be right back. Very quick break. Full phone lines. We're going to try to get everybody in the remaining 10 minutes that we have left in the program. Go in order here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. I was just listening to the gentleman that was on the radio. You know, it was only about 2 weeks ago they were asking Donald Trump in an interview that did he regret picking Vance for his VP, because, you know, Vance was under a lot of scrutiny, so a lot of the things that he said. And Donald Trump said, you know, a vice president really doesn't really do much. You know, go to funerals, shake some hands, you know, things that, you know, the president, you know, is not able to get there. Basically like almost like social events. And now I noticed that everybody on the right is like, oh, she was in charge of the border, and you know, she didn't do nothing about the border, and, you know, holding her like she had all the power to do everything that was going on over there. And secondly is that, you know, when Donald Trump ran for his first bid, I mean, the most experience he had was on The Apprentice, back in full. I don't know. I just don't understand people sometimes.
Yeah, I think so. The vice president usually does have duties. It's not a ceremonial position. There's things that they do. But it is kind of funny how those who are against her say, you know, in one breath, they say, well, she was the vice president. She didn't do anything. Like, she didn't do anything. She had 4 years and she didn't do anything. And then they say, oh, yeah, well, everything that happened is her fault, in the next breath. So it can't be both ways. You gotta pick one or the other. All right. Thank you for the call. And let's take another one here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How are you?
I can be real fast, Mr. Weisberg. I know you ran out of time. I missed the whole first hour and 40 minutes of your show. It couldn't be avoided, but I'm going to go to the podcast after. I am not going to be calling. I mean, I'm surprised this was going on today. I must have missed a lot. I'm not going to call in no more names. I'm not going to say anything. I only have one thing. It's one thing, okay? It's more important than the high prices of food, the high prices of gas, the homeless people going on, all that kind of stuff. She gets in there. She's already shown us she is not going to protect America with that border. She's going to leave it open. And with me, that is the most single thing that there's no way she would ever get my vote. She's not for America. You must see that. You don't see that?
So I'm just going to ask you, where did you hear that she's going to leave the border wide open? Where did you hear that?
You haven't been listening to her, Mr. Weinberg. Seriously?
Did she come out and say, I just think the border should be open all
she's
the time?
She's been there all this time and she's done nothing. She let more people in. She's letting murderers out of jail. I'm sure you heard that.
You know that they put together a plan to fix the border crisis and it didn't get approved by Congress because Donald Trump made phone calls to avoid it.
Okay, it's up to you if you want to believe it. She has not come out. I have not heard her say she's going to close that border down. She hasn't apologized for what she's already done by letting all these murderers out of jail. They're coming from all countries. Women and children getting raped over
here.
So
she let murderers out of jails in other countries come here?
No. She let murderers out of wherever jail they came out of. They came from other countries, didn't they? They let out people from mental institutions in different countries. They're all coming in here.
Here's the thing. Donald Trump made that up and told you that, and you believed it.
Donald Trump made that up?
Yeah, Donald Trump made that up, that everybody that's coming over the borders is coming out of mental institutions and prisons and coming over here.
Send me the source for that information so I can see it.
What source can I send you for something that Donald Trump made up?
Where did you get that? Let me know. How do you know that he made that up?
Because everybody that has investigated who's coming over the border said that that's not true.
But listen.
Are some of them? Yeah, some of them, but
not
everybody.
She hasn't closed it. She's been there how long already?
Well,
she could have done something about this.
The plan was never to close it completely. That was never the plan. Although that was one of the things that was in this bill would be the ability to do that when necessary.
I don't care about closing it completely. I care about them coming here the way our family members came here, where they waited for years. They have to have sponsors already living here. They have to have
a lot of people's family members did not come here that way.
Of course not. It's called sneaking into the country, breaking into the country. How else did they get in if they didn't come in the right way? What else is that? What would you call it?
Not everybody came in the right way. Some people came in overstayed visas and just became citizens.
No, you know where I'm going. I can't even believe we're talking politics on your phone, on your line, on your show.
All right.
I missed the whole question. I can't wait to go hear it. I hope you post it right away.
The first 2 hours are already posted, so they should be showing up soon.
Even then, I won't be able to see it till after 11.
Yeah, it takes about an hour or so for it to show up once it's posted.
Certainly not going to miss that.
All right.
Thank you. You too.
Have a good
day.
Yeah. And she's going to be surprised when she finds out we were just talking about school for 2 hours. I got to take a break. Callers, hang on. We'll try to squeeze in as many as we can, but I got to get one more break in. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. I only got about a minute here, and I've got to tell you before I go about the butcher shop, because as Labor Day weekend approaches, it's really a lot of people's kind of last hurrah for a big cookout party. I will grill things any time of year. I'll be out there in my shorts in a snowstorm grilling something. But for a lot of people, this is the big last hurrah. And if you're going to do it right. Do it by getting some of the finest meats you can get in the city. Cut the way that you want it. Terrace Major, tomahawk steaks, cowboy steaks, sirloins. Everything you can possibly imagine, of course, pork chops, celebrity pork chops, chicken breast, chicken wings, lobster. It's all available at the butcher shop. 123 Dharma Street in New Bedford. You can also get all your beer and wine as well. Everything you could possibly need to put on the perfect end of summer party, you can get at the butcher shop. Stop in and speak with the Panaretta family. They will take care of you. They will treat you like you're a part of their family because, as I always say, it is a real old school neighborhood market. So check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. So I'm sorry I couldn't get to all the calls. Chris McCarthy is coming up with South Coast. Now he has Ward 1 Counselor Leo.